I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, roll call. We have everybody here tonight. That's great. And next on the agenda is citizen input. So if there's any citizens here that would like to address the council on an item that is not on the agenda, please raise your hand. We'll give you up to 5 minutes. Okay, since we have no citizen input, do I hear a motion for the approval of the agenda?
I'll make that motion.
Ken Johnson first.
Second.
Dan second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed the same? Okay, do I hear a motion on the consent agenda?
Move to accept the consent agenda.
Okay, Dan first for accepting it.
Second.
Gina second. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed the same? Great, that passed too then, okay. Let's get down here. Main Street change order. That is, where's my notes? Larry, I believe, right? Here we go. Or Taylor? Okay.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. Tonight you have before you a change order for the Main Street project. Item number one would be to eliminate an existing drainage problem along the north side of Main Street between the railroad tracks and the East Low Canal. That cost will be $6,461.62. Item two will be to install a new 10-foot wide concrete sidewalk along the south side of Main Street between 11th and 12th Avenue. There's currently no sidewalk there. That's a gravel lot. That cost to the city will be $2,685.00. Third item will be to eliminate an ADA deficient driveway ramp into CBHA's parking lot on 2nd Avenue. That cost will be $3,500 even to the city. The fourth will be to eliminate an ADA deficient sidewalk and ramp near the city's museum by installing an ADA compliant concrete ramp. That will be $2,800 to the city. The fifth one will be to eliminate a section of Main Street with substandard thickness between 3rd and 5th Avenue by adding an extra inch of asphalt, which will be $30,128. And the sixth item for all of this work, the contractor's asking for 20 days.
Have you said, did everybody get the one about $2,800?
Oh.
I don't seem to have that. Oh, you don't either.
It says 35 on the change order, 3500.
Oh, okay.
In the change order itself, the $2,800 is listed, but it's not figured into the total. So we're funding that separately because we wouldn't have gotten the right total on the change if we had included it in that. So they didn't add it in. They mentioned it in the change order.
Correct.
$2,800. That's at the museum, but they didn't include it in the change order. Taylor mentioned it because it is something that is going to be done, and we will be funding that with money from the sidewalk construction fund.
And the reasons it's in the change order is because the contractor will be doing it, but it'll be taken out of separate funds.
Okay.
It's not listed in this total here.
So we're not approving the $2,800. We're approving what's in front of us. Correct?
So it's not out of the bond money for Main Street.
Correct.
It's out of a separate fund.
Okay.
That is included. And on the first one, Taylor, did you make that correction on the cents?
Yeah. The first item is actually $6,461.62, not 21 cents.
Okay. So on these, is tax included in these?
These are non-tax?
These are non-tax
items that are part of the road project.
Any questions?
So is the driveway ramp on, in CBHA a different issue than the museum?
Yes.
I do have a question, real briefly, because I did miss the last workshop we discussed this, but I've had questions as how do you add an inch of asphalt to one section of road? Did somebody physically go in and grind off another inch? Because you've got the curb there, and that's level, and if you're going to the top of that curb, you haven't added an inch.
It's a very valid question, and the inch is not added over the entire width. It is tapered into from the parking lanes and tapered up to the travel lanes, and it's also tapered into beyond exactly where the substandard thickness was found so that there was no bump or hump left in the road.
One thing, Mark, if I may, that you missed at last week's meeting, part of an explanation was once we'd gone through and the contractor had ground down the existing pavement, and we went through and cut in the utility trenches for the water and the storm and the electrical conduits, we realized that there were sections that were less thicker than others, particularly between 3rd and 5th Avenues. It was about an inch to an inch and a quarter shy of everywhere else. And for uniformity and to make sure that we had a good travel where the entire length of the main street, we did a bunch of corings and found out we were short that inch and a quarter and made the recommendation that we beef that up. And it's not a complete, like Taylor says, 1 inch all the way along, both in profile from 35th and in width. But it's a taper so that it'll take care of eliminating any bump along the way. And the parking lane you don't need as thick as you do in the travel lane anyway. So we felt it was a good win-win where we'd be able to beef up that section, add additional asphalt in there, and not have to grind anymore or put in extra thickness along the edges where there just isn't that much traffic.
So was that on the pre-level, that inch?
Yes.
Because when I watched them today, I don't see them do anything different when they went from 3rd to 5th.
It was on the pre-level.
Was that confirmed by a representative from your engineering firm, that they actually got another inch?
Yeah, we had an extra inspector out here specifically staying with the paving crew. And his job, Danny Cavell is his name, and he's retired DOT. He's probably got 40 plus years of experience in paving and working in road jobs. His job was to make sure that the right thicknesses were there. He had a laser temperature gauge that he just, like a gun, pokes at the asphalt mix for temperature. He then has a rod that he sticks into the ground to make sure that we have the representative thickness. And he measures the quantity of mix and calculates out what we call yield or tonnage. So every 100 feet or so, we know that they're actually putting down not too much or not too little.
So have they already added that thickness to what they're doing now?
Yeah, it's there.
And that equal 450 tons, is that right?
Yeah, approximately that. That's what we had calculated, and they're supposed to be getting us the exact tickets probably in the next day or two. That's what it'll be.
So is every truck weighed that comes in here? Is that what it is?
Yeah, every truck that comes in has a weight to it that they hand our inspector that says exactly how much is on that truck.
Okay.
And then he calculates after it's down based off of width, length, and thickness, and conversion factors, just how much it compares to the tonnage from the timber.
Any more questions? Okay, thank you, Taylor. Do I hear a motion to move to approve change order number 4 to MRM contract as presented?
I so move.
Okay, Ken.
I second.
Taylor first. Okay, second. Any other? Charles was second, sorry.
Now, Ken, you made this motion. You're usually Mr. Anti-Change Order.
I figured nice I'd catch something about that, and I was going to make a comment about that exact thing. I think looking at this, you know, this is one of those additional things. It's not something that grabbed us in the wherever, you know, and And I look at it that way. I don't think it's something that we shouldn't pay for, because it's something that I think that should be done if we're, and I think Larry mentioned this last meeting. I mean, why sacrifice $30,000 for a A1 project here, and if it breaks up, we don't want that to happen. And the other two or three little items there, I think it's something that needs to be done. And probably in the long run, we're saving money by doing it now with the contractor on board and whatnot. So that's one reason why I say this change order, I'll accept it.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, the same? Great, that passes. Annual street striping, WashDOT. Terry.
Good evening, Council and Mayor.
Hello.
We're here to discuss our annual street striping. Annually, the Department of Transportation stripes streets and highways throughout Central Washington. Traditionally, the city has contracted with DOT to stripe our city streets. This is an annual maintenance agreement. The city has requested that they provide street striping as part of our normal annual agreement, except for Main Street this year. Main Street is not included, as it will be painted as part of Main Street project. The cost this year is $8,150. It is expected to be increased next year, as the cost will include Main Street striping.
Questions?
I might make one comment on this before we make a motion. By doing what we're going to do as far as the Main Street's concerned, that's where we're saving a good portion of this money. I think we had budgeted about $20,000 for striping, and we're in here about $8,000. There's $12,000 or $40,000 right there, because we're already added that to the, or that was already in the contract for Main Street. So we're not going to be as bad off as we think. So.
All right, we spend $6 million and save $12,000.
Okay.
Is what they stripe like the same every year?
Yep, we have a map that actually gives them the areas to stripe. Main Street is on it, but it won't be striped this year at all because it's under the project.
There's the map. So we restripe the same areas every year. The striping wears off that quickly, huh? Wow.
Yeah, it's one morning. They usually come in the morning, early in the morning, and they're out of here.
Yeah, they come in and they're gone.
You're driving to work and go, whoa, we're all the time.
I think you added one small amount there with a fog line on, what, 4th Street or whatever?
4th Street, we added
I think
one
that
for a fog
line
for that,
additional.
For traffic to move over as the road narrows. That was added to the list.
Mm-hmm.
They did not do crosswalks. The city crew does do crosswalks.
So do I hear a motion to approve the agreement with WashDOT?
I'll make that motion.
Okay, Mark Snyder.
Second.
Ken Johnson, second. Any other further discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, the same? Great, thank you. Contract to control of noxious and nuisant weeds. Two.
In 2009, the Public Works Department went out to bid for weed spraying for the city. Due to the declining health of the current weed control contractor, Vaughn, at Double R Spraying, we contracted with Outback Spraying for our 2009 spraying contract, and we renewed our contract with Outback Spraying in 2010. For the current year, 2011, we went out to bid, and low bid was received by Basin Tree Service in the amount of $19,908, significantly less than our expected bid amount. Our contract requires Basin Tree Service to be fully insured, with the city being held harmless for claims made against them. They are insured through HUB International Northwest with a $2 million aggregate policy, which includes the city as a certificate holder. This is a one-year contract. Basin has bid this as needing only 96 hours, but the city has found that in the past that over 200 hours were needed to do a complete job of maintaining the alleys, curb and gutters, well sites, wastewater treatment ponds. They have agreed they would only charge the city up to the maximum amount they bid, no matter how many actual hours it takes to maintain the weed spraying.
Whoa.
They are guaranteeing the weed spraying will be to our satisfaction.
More comment. There's another 20,000 we possibly should take that off of this.
We'll take it. We're getting there. Close to 6 million.
I've told you for 5 years we've been paying too much for this.
Are they going to come with a change order for?
Yeah.
Well, they said they guarantee it.
They guarantee it.
So okay, we'll take their word. Okay.
Terry, just to be sure, this includes the chemicals too? Because the other contract was per hour plus the cost of chemicals.
No, this includes everything. There is no change orders after this. We made sure of that when we sat down with them.
They did want us to change to that. That's what I was providing. The city provided the chemicals. Terry told them
no. Good job, Terry.
Thank you.
Well, it's a little bit of a slippery slope on things like this, and that it'll take some monitoring on our part,
we told them that as well.
Contracting with somebody to mow your yard and they kind of come every month, it's not that good a deal, but if they really will do it, and I wouldn't pay them all at once up front.
No. That's why it was changed from a 3-year contract to a 1-year contract, just to monitor it.
Okay. Do I hear a motion to accept the agreement with Basin Tree Service?
I'll make that motion.
Okay, Gina?
Second.
Dan, second. Any further discussion? Go ahead.
I finally get to vote yes on the weed spraying.
All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Cool. Opposed, the same. All right. Well, thank you.
Mark's on the roll.
Yeah. Okay. Debbie, resolution to appoint official newspaper.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Bids were received from the Othello Outlook and the Columbia Basin Herald for the designation of this official newspaper for 1 year as provided in state law. The Othello Outlook submitted their bid as $3.23 per single column inch, but did not submit the verification that they had a periodical class mailing permit, as which was required in the bid packet. The Columbia Basin Herald submitted their bid as $6 per single column inch, and did submit verification that they have a periodical class mailing permit. A few years ago, there was an issue about whether one of the submitting bidders actually had a periodical class mailing permit, so we changed the bid form and highlighted and capitalized that particular requirement on page 2 and had it again listed on page 3, and that was underlined. RCW 6516020 has all of the qualifications that are needed for the designation as an official newspaper. It's important to understand that the designation of an official newspaper is only for legal publications and does not affect other advertising or press releases. In 2010, we expended approximately $1,500 for legal publications. Due to the fact that the lowest bid is considered non-responsive because they did not meet all of the bid requirements, we recommend that Council approve the resolution to designate the Columbia Basin Herald as the official newspaper for May 1st, 2011 through May 1st, 2012.
Questions?
I'd like to speak if I.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you, Mary Wilson.
Yeah, would you say your name and address and then?
Absolutely. My name is Eric LaFontaine, 313 North Crestview Drive, Moses Lake. I'm the publisher of the Othello Outlook newspaper. This year, I failed to provide proof of our mailing permit and legal newspaper status. I accept full responsibility for this error. I have no excuse other than not realizing we would need to provide that again, because it was just last year when the exception was made with previous bidders that allowed us all to then submit proof of verification. I didn't pay very close attention to the bid form. Again, it was an honest mistake. I've come before the council to ask for an exception to this year's legal newspaper bid and allow both parties, the Columbia Basin Herald and the Othello Outlook, to rebid. I only ask because I believe the council is fair and will make the right decision to keep the city's legal newspaper and tax dollars for legal publications within Othello. You may remember there was an exception last year, which was made and allowed all of us to verify our status, which we did, and we were awarded the legal paper. as was last year, I asked for the same exception to allow us to verify our legal status as a paper. Earlier, you made an exception for the Othello Chamber and awarded them additional dollars for their failure to keep financial records. You made an exception for the Sandhill Crane Festival and awarded them additional dollars and staff time for this year's festival. I'm not asking for money. I'm only asking to rebid the legal newspaper. Please don't punish our thousands of paid local readers for our honest mistake. Should the Columbia Basin Herald have issue with rebidding, please remember they have not been Othello's community newspaper for 64 years, and our local readers will surely appreciate that. I also don't believe the Columbia Basin Herald circulation numbers are accurate. I ask you to verify their circulation numbers for the 99344 zip code as paid readers. Thank you for your time.
Questions?
I agree with everything he said and recommend we get a rebid.
I second that.
Well, we better get some legal counsel too, because we're walking on a different territory here.
I appreciate the honest mistake. However, this is a state statute that requires you to put out to bid your legal newspaper services. And part of the requirements are to ensure that it's a level playing field for all potential bidders. And that's why we are very specific and very clear in the bid specifications. It's just like any other legislature has chosen. And so we are bound to comply strictly with the statutory requirements, which we have done. Generally speaking, when a council makes a determination to reject bids and rebid, it's because there is a problem with the bid specifications that cause confusion in the potential bidding environment. And so to clear up that confusion, or if they are so far out of budget, council may not be able to accept the bids and reject all of them. Those are the normal type of situations for rejecting a bid. This is not what I would consider a normal or typical situation in which councils would typically reject all of the bids and allow a rebid. This would be done clearly to allow a bidder who made a mistake to correct that mistake, and would create, in my opinion, an unfair playing field. The requirements for the bid were very clear and very specific. In fact, because of the previous mistake, it was highlighted and colored so that the potential bidders would remember that that is a specific requirement. It's unfortunate because it is your community newspaper, but it is, as your clerk indicated, just for the legal notices. It does not affect any of the other city advertising or other city business that needs to be conducted in a community newspaper. In looking at the staff report, it appears that your legal requirements in terms of advertising for the last year were about $1,500, so we're not talking about a tremendous amount of income that would be lost to your community newspaper. And when you balance that out against the potential that you could have as a result of the challenge if you were to reject all of the bids and allow a rebid, so it would be my recommendation, given the facts that you have before you, that you accept staff's recommendation to award the bid to the lowest responsible bidder.
So, Mark, are you making a motion?
No. Okay. More questions.
Okay.
When the bid went out and we asked for circulation count, did it ask for our area code circulation count? Because in light of the gentleman that just spoke, I totally agree that I would not think that number is accurate at all for a.
Remember, the circulation count can't be used as a requirement for a little bid either. It's not a requirement in the RCWs.
Yeah, but if we're getting faulty information, then that to me gives us cause to rebid.
It says also include your circulation count for your newspaper in the city of Othello. Now, the Columbia Basin Herald has 5 days of publications too. So they probably took the whole week, I would assume. I didn't even ask them because it's not a requirement for determining the
still over, yeah, it's still over 1,000. I don't believe it.
It's what I could remember, because that was one of my concerns in the past, is because I want our legal notices in our local paper. And one of my questions was the number of counts. And I'm remembering it's in the mid 300 area is the circulation in the Othello area. I would love to have it back in the Outlook, but we made those changes last year, so we wouldn't have this happen again. Unfortunately, we're up against the state regulations on this one. We did have one complete accurate bid on it, and we're obligated to take that one. I would love to go with the Outlook. I've always pushed for the Outlook, and these have been the questions in the past too that have arose on this circulation.
Well, whether it's a consideration to get the bid or not, if we're getting faulty information, I think that's a precursor to getting accurate information and asking for a rebid. But I don't even think it's close.
But it's not part of the reasoning for awarding the bid.
Yeah, but you requested that information, and we got faulty numbers. Debbie, what did the Columbia Basin Herald give us in the way of verifying that they have?
They gave us what they gave us last year, and it's a copy of. It's a copy of their permit type, and it's been verified last year and this year with the USPS, with the Postal Service across the street, that this shows that they do have a periodical permit. It's the permit type. And they gave us their USPS number and ISSN number.
Is that dated? Do they have to do that annually? Is that dated?
No, annually. I think they have to just provide a report annually.
It's an annual verification through the post office. And to verify our circulation numbers, each newspaper places a legal in their paper that substantiates their circulation. So what I provided Debbie with this morning, which I don't know if it was able to make the packet, actually shows our defined numbers of distribution in the Othello zip code based on paid circulation, based on subscribers, newsstand sales, so on and so forth.
With the Othello Outlook, too, it's easy to go right to their paper. You open it up, and it says right down there that they have a periodical class mailing permit, and that's what you submitted last year with this bid, and that's what we're missing this year. But both years, we verified with
I just don't think it's in the best interest of our citizens to reject the Othello Outlook because of a small clerical error.
But also it's not in the best interest of our citizens to get a lawsuit out of the deal. So, you know,
what are they going to do?
Might come out of it. So, you know, we have to treat everybody equally. Unfortunately, what happened here, I'm just like Ken, I wanted to go to Othello.
I agree too. But
I agree with you, Martin. I think the lawsuit would be much greater if they wanted to push the issue.
It's not worth it.
Well, I would like to comment for a second. Mm-hmm. these questions that have arisen tonight are what Debbie wrestled with during the course of the review. Debbie did an excellent job, and I want to commend her for that in going through the process. She did that in light of what happened 2 years ago when we went through the exact same issue. Therefore, she highlighted in yellow on the bid specs the requirement in two different places. And it was a requirement, and Debbie conducted a very sterile, a very thorough process, and you come to the end and it becomes a very clear decision. It's like any bid that we do. It's unfortunate. All of us would like to see the Othello Outlook be the official paper. It is a one-year notice, and I think to not follow the sterile process shines a bad light on what we did as staff to get to a point to give you good information.
Not that it matters, but the printer that I printed it out on was black and white, so the highlight never showed up on my version. Right, which to Jan, and Jan is unable to open pretty much any publication sent to her, so she sends it to me to then open and send back to her. Not that it excuses it, but I never saw the highlight.
Yeah. I do want to thank Eric also. He came and met with Debbie and I. We called him to come and talk to us about this, and he shared with us that he was going to admit his mistake to council, ask for reconsideration, but also shared with us that if the council went the other direction, he would certainly understand. We appreciated that, Eric.
Don't we have a normal disclaimer at the bottom of our bids that says we can reject any and all bids? And to what?
And to waive any informality in bids.
Is that a loophole? Let's informally reject the bids.
An informality is not what you would consider a material part of the bid specifications. The problem here is that the bid specifications clearly called for certain things to be submitted in order to be deemed a responsive bid. Whenever you're talking about receiving bids, you're talking in terms of it, whether it's a responsible bidder and whether it is a responsive bid. And in order to pass the test of being a responsive bid, it has to contain all of the information that was required by the bid specifications. Unfortunately, this is a situation where one of the statutorily required submissions was missing from the application. So my concern at this point would be that, you know, if the council made a decision to reject all of the bids and rebid, the record, I think, is pretty clear what the basis for that would be. And I think that that leaves you vulnerable to a challenge from the other bidder who submitted a valid bid. Like I said at the beginning, the whole point behind the bid laws is to level the playing field so that everybody knows ahead of time what the requirements are and they can submit their bids based upon those requirements. I don't think this is a situation where there was an informality or an irregularity or a misunderstanding. It was simply an honest mistake, and unfortunately that's happened.
So I hear a motion. So I hear a resolution designating the Columbia Basin Herald as the city's official newspaper.
I'll make that motion.
Gina first.
Second.
Dan second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed the same?
Aye.
Okay. Mark opposed. Mark support. Thank you.
Just to stick it to the man, I said no.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah, okay. Once.
Okay, do we have any unfinished business? Okay, new business. Did everybody get to read about? Oh, go ahead.
I have one thing I'd like to bring up. About 3 weeks ago, me and Dan went to a conference over at Big Bend Community College dealing with economic development in rural, small rural communities. They had one speaker there, Roger Brooks. A very good gentleman to listen to. He has a business, DDI, it's Destination Developments Incorporated. He has a web page that I'd like all the council members to get on and take a look at. It's destinationdevelopment.com. He basically will go into a community and find that one thing that makes the community unique from other communities. These days, people are using the internet to research where they want to go anymore for their weekend destinations or their week-long trips. And Roger finds those things that people are looking for in your communities. And like I said, I invite you, all the council members, to take a look at his webpage and see if this is somebody that we would like to bring in to our community to help us with our tourism dollars, our attracting other businesses that we could use in this community, and even attracting new people to move into the community also. I talked to Lynette Crothers today, and this is basically on the same lines that they are trying to work with too. They're trying to brand our city with a theme or an ideal for the city, what we want to move with too.
So is this something you'd like city staff to look farther into to see if this is something we might be interested in pursuing?
To me at this point, it's kind of up to beautification committee to put together a presentation to the council, and then we look at it and see what they have to say as to where they want to go. I'm not sure we need to get into it. Let them do their thing, and it's just like the committee, let them do their thing and then find out what they have. That's my feeling about it.
Okay.
I'd say before we spend the money, we should at least entertain what the beautification committee
has. Yes. And like I say, I've talked to him too. And like I said, I was just inviting the council to take a look at his webpage to see what you think and see if it's something that we do want to look at, along with the beautification committee's project that they're working on.
Okay. Good.
The second half of that. I spent most of the day with WorkSource and the training of workers in our community, particularly those who are not going to go to college. I mean, don't get me started on that. Everybody has to go to college business, because I don't think that's true. And like one guy said at the conference up there, he said, you can't outsource plumbing to China. There ain't no way to do it. So they have a program, and I have some material put together that I would really like to take to the high school, because I talked to the lady and said they won't let us into high school to talk about it, and because they're, you know, in its ultimate wisdom, the state and federal government has determined that everybody has to go to college, but we don't have places for them, we don't have money to send them. So and I heard truck drivers make more money than school teachers all the time, so if you really want to know. So I have some information there that I would like to put together to go to the schools with and see if we can't get something started there, because there's a lot of jobs here that don't require a college education, and some of them are pretty well paid. So anyway, that's what the other part of the conference was about, my part of it.
Any other new business? Okay, did everybody get a chance to look at Terry Thompson has come up requesting to be on the Planning Commission? We've been looking for, I think, 4 months. And I've talked to a lot of people, I'm sure some of you have too. So I guess I'd like to make a motion right here to approve him to the Planning Commission. We have to have a motion, correct?
The confirmation of the mayor's appointment.
So we need to have a motion, okay. Okay, as required by OMC 2.21.010, I as a mayor appoint and the city council confirms. Therefore, I am requesting that you confirm by motion the appointment of Terry Thompson. Any discussion?
I so move.
Okay, Taylor first.
Second.
Second, Mark Snyder. All in favor, say aye.
I've got discussion.
Oh, you got a discussion, okay.
Just confirm on the planning, the city planning commission, they have to live in town?
He does.
He does live in town?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah,
he does live in town, yeah.
Oh, for some reason, I thought he didn't.
So. He's on Spruce, isn't he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just a little ways from here.
Okay, it's all good then.
Okay, any more discussion? Okay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same? Okay, great. Okay, let me get this up here. Better get my glasses on for this one. Proclamation. It didn't come up. I must have clicked it on. Okay. Proclamation. National Telecommunicators. Oh, man. Telecommunicators Week. Whereas emergencies can occur at any time that require police, fire, or emergency medical services, and whereas when emergencies occur, the prompt response of police officers, firefighters, paramedics is critical to the protection of life and property, preservation of property, and whereas the safety of our police officer and firefighters is dependent upon the quality and accuracy of information obtained from citizens who telephone the Othello Police Fire Communications Center, and whereas the public safety dispatchers are single vital link for our police officers and firefighters by monitoring their activities by radio, providing them information, and ensuring their safety, and whereas the public safety dispatchers of the Othello Police Department have contributed substantially to apprehension of criminals, suppression of fire, and treatment of patients, and whereas each dispatcher has exhibited compassion, understanding, and professionalism during the performance of the job in this past year, now therefore I hereby declare the week of April 11th through the 15th, 2011 to be National Telecommunicators Week in Othello, in honor of men and women whose diligence and professionalism keeps our city and citizens safe, signed this 11th day of April 2011. I want to encourage people to go thank them for their work and stuff, especially council members, if you get a chance. Go in and see what they do and stuff like that. And, you know, it's a pretty neat operation going on in there, and they do a great job. Okay. Any other new business? Okay. Mayor's announcements. Adams County Fire District Number 5 has their biannual meeting on Tuesday, April 12th at 7 p.m. and the fire station. Councilmember Spohr, Snyder, and Garcia, you able to make it tomorrow night? Charles, you able to make it? Yes. Okay. Okay. Then. Yeah, it's Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then the mayor's luncheon is Wednesday, April 13th at noon at the Senior Citizen. Corrine Field from the Othello branch of the Mid-Columbia Library is a scheduled speaker. I want to invite you if you want to come. It's been a lot of fun hearing from the different individuals that have shared with us. And Friday, April 15th is a deadline for elected officials to file personal financial affairs statements with the Public Disclosure Commission. If you can't remember your password, you can call them and they can give it to you. So I forgot mine. So, okay, if there's nothing else, Eamon? Oh, Dan, did you? Oh, yeah, it's Dan Deaver's birthday today. Do you want to sing happy birthday to him? Yeah. Okay, let's do it. Let's embarrass him.
Hooray,
all right. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Dan. Happy birthday to you. This meeting's adjourned.